Speaking on this program is Mark Lance.
Brother, the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, I think is a book of encouragement, a chapter of encouragement. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, just stop right there. This Word of God, it's not from man. He says, he's an apostle, and he's speaking by the will of God. Brethren, there's a difference. There's a lot of preachers, a lot of teachers that are telling their word. They're telling what they want as a plan of salvation. We need to know what God wants us to do. What would God have me to do? How would God have me to live? That's what matters more than anything else. What does God want me to do? That's who I need to please. And if I please Him, it doesn't matter what the world thinks. Not if I please God, but brethren, this is by the will of God. That makes it different, doesn't it? Not just the mind of man. Oh, this is greater than anything any man ever said. But by the will of God. But brethren, notice something else here. To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Brethren, we can spend a lot of time on this one verse and need to. First, it's by the will of God, not man. But notice this. To the saints which are Ephesus. He's writing to Christians. They're at Ephesus. He's writing to people. Now, why is that so important? Especially in this area that we live in. Dominated by Catholicism, we're told that certain people after the dead, after a certain period of time, they become saints. Paul's writing to saints. They're already living. How did they become saints? They became Christians. Saints and Christians equal the same thing. If you're a Christian, you're a saint. Sometimes I hear a member of the body of Christ, a Christian, say, well, I'm no saint. If you're a Christian, you are. And we need to understand that. But now, if you're a saint, you're going to live different than the world. Now, a saint doesn't mean self-righteous. A saint means actually the opposite of that. We're righteous by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not our own goodness. We need to understand that. But brethren, we're righteous by God. We are saints if we are God's people, not after we become dead, not after we do some great deed. It's after we obey the gospel, after we become Christians. But he says this, who's he writing to? And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. You're going to notice that phrase throughout this book, this first chapter, actually chapter 1 and 2. We're not necessarily looking at chapter 2 right now. But you're going to notice that phrase, in Christ, or something equal to it, on several occasions. But he says, and to the faithful, where are the faithful? They're in Christ. That's where the faithful are. Where are the unfaithful? Outside of Christ. Question. And you need to know this. How do I get into Christ where the faithfulness is? Where the faithful are? Where I can be a saint? Where Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 says we're baptized into Christ. Baptized into His death. Where did Jesus shed His blood? In His death on the cross. Therefore, when I'm baptized into the death of Jesus, I'm baptized into His death, and I contact that saving blood that He shed for me. That's how I wind up in Christ. You see in Acts chapter 2, the gospel was proclaimed. About 3,000 heeded the message. They were baptized. And verse 47 of Acts 2 says, and the Lord added them to the church. They didn't join anything. They became faithful. They became saints by repenting of their sins and being baptized into Christ. And now they are saints. And if you've done that and you're living faithful in Christ, if you're in Christ, as this text says right before us, you're a Christian, you're a saint, you're heaven bound. But now notice this. He says to the faithful that are in Christ, sometimes brethren become unfaithful. They stop attending. They stop being faithful. They stop spreading the gospel. Now, being faithful, he didn't say to those that show up every now and then. He said to the faithful, those that are spreading the gospel, those that it means something to, those that are on fire for the cause of Christ, those that are turning the world upside down. The world's going to think you're different. They should. If you live different than the world's going to think that you're different. And they should think that you're different. They should see that. They're not going to agree with it. Light and darkness, it doesn't mix. Good and evil, they don't mix. There's no meeting ground. They're completely separate. Right and left, there's no mixing with those that are unfaithful. But be glad that you're a Christian. Now, verse 3, very critical verse of our study, said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." What did Paul do? He praised God. And he's glad that he's a Christian this morning. To you that are Christians that are sitting in this audience, are you glad that you're a Christian? Are you blessed to be here this morning? We are in the presence of one another. We have sung praises unto God. We were led in prayer. Brethren, we are praying to God when we're doing that, going before the throne of God. Jesus is in our midst this morning as we worship God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who deserves our worship. And no man deserves to be worshipped. That's the reason I'm not called reverend. I am not a reverend. God is reverend. Holy and reverend is His name. Not some man that calls himself reverend. But God is to be blessed. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Why, Paul? Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings? Now, where are they? Here's that phrase again. One that's going to equal the same as the first. Twice, actually. In heavenly places. In Christ. That's where the spiritual blessings are. Let's name a few spiritual blessings. One, salvation itself. We're being saved. How are we saved? In Christ. You see the phrase again. That's where salvation is. Prayer. It's not for those that are not Christians. It's for those that are in Christ. Fellowship with other Christians, that's for those that are in Christ. Knowing that we have the peace that passes all understanding, that's for those that are in Christ, in heavenly places. The Lord's church, where's its headquarters? Well, we're here on earth, but where is the head? The head is Jesus Christ, and the head is in heaven. Brethren, we follow the head of the church, Jesus Christ, not man, not a group of men, but Jesus Christ, and we are blessed to do that. But all spiritual blessings, where are they? They're in Christ. This morning, if you're not in Christ, if you have fallen away, if you have not become a Christian, you are missing out on these spiritual blessings. You can pray. It won't do any good. Not till you're in Christ. Not till you become a Christian. If there's sin in your life, repent of it. If it's private, take care of it that way and repent. And be in Christ. If it's something that you fall away from the church and not living faithful, come back and repent and be in Christ where those spiritual blessings are. You've tasted of the heavenly gifts. You know what salvation tastes like. You know that you can lay your head down at night and know that you're going to heaven. Even if there is an earthquake, even if there is a tsunami, even if there is a hurricane, if you don't wake, you have a heart attack and never wake again, but you're in Christ, you don't have to fear those things. But now, if you're not in Christ, you better fear those things because you're not prepared to meet God and you don't know when death is coming. So you need to take advantage of those things now. But now we also notice verse 4. According as He hath purposed in us, in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Before the foundation of the world, God had a plan to save you and to save me. He already knew what man needed. He created Adam and Eve. He knew that man would sin. He knew man that would need a Savior. We see the patriarchal age, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and so forth. We see those. But we also see the Mosaic period. It pointed out sin in the Old Testament. It condemned it. They couldn't be saved under that system. But Christ came and died on the cross. He shed His blood in His death on the cross. Now salvation is made possible to men. You can be in Christ by being baptized into His death. Salvation is free. It's been brought down. But you know, even a free gift must be taken advantage of. Somebody says, "Hey, I've got a new car out here waiting for you." But you get in your car and drive off and don't go look at it. Don't go take advantage of it. Never take the keys. That free gift that somebody gives you will do you absolutely no good. Somebody says, "Hey, I want to take you and buy lunch for you today." It's going to be a free meal. You go home. Well, you haven't taken advantage of it. The meal was there. It was ready. It was going to be paid for. But you didn't take advantage of it. So you haven't benefited from it. Salvation is free. The price has been paid by Jesus Christ. So therefore, me and you don't have to suffer what we really should suffer. The sins that put Jesus on the cross were yours and mine and all of humanity. That's the reason he died on the cross. Not because of his sins, but because of our sins. But I don't have to face that punishment, not if I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. Revelation 1 verse 5. And if I'm in Christ, those sins that I've committed, that I deserve to die for, I do not have to spiritually die for, because Jesus paid the price. But I tell you this, brethren, I'm going to take advantage of that blood that was shed. I'm going to be covered by the blood of Christ, and that way on the day of judgment, when that trumpet does sound, and I do stand before my Lord, I can go there in confidence, because He's made a promise. If you follow me, you're going to be forgiven. If you do what I tell you to do, you're going to be forgiven. And Jesus says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. I know that that's what's happening because my Lord said it. And His Word is true. He's never lied. He's never given us a reason not to believe Him. So therefore, I'm going to look forward to that day. I'm glad that I can be a Christian. I'm glad that He has shed His blood on the cross for me. How dare the world, how dare any of us let our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ die on the cross and not take advantage of it. What a sad condition to be in. Jesus shed His blood, and so many refuse to hear and obey. But now notice the second part of the verse, that we, Christians, saints, should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Can we say that this morning? Now, we're going to sin. As members of the body of Christ, as Christians, as saints, saints doesn't mean that we're perfect ourselves. We're perfect in this sense. If we're covered by the blood of Christ, our sins are covered. And we're perfect in that sense that we don't have those sins against us. But if I'm not a Christian, I can't say that. If I'm not faithfully serving God, who have you taught the gospel to lately? Who have you gone to visit that needs help lately? Who have you gone to help lately? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are we doing that? Do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. Are you doing that? Are you living a holy life? If you're not, you're not in Christ. And yes, as a child of God, you can lose your salvation. But brethren, if you're living a holy life, you can have that love, and you can love your Savior, you can be glad that you are a Christian, and you can know that heaven is your home. No, we shouldn't hang our heads. We should lift them up. I serve my Savior, Jesus Christ, and I'm not ashamed of that. I'm very thankful that He will allow me to be His child. What a privilege that we have that we are in Christ, and He allows us these blessings. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, by the grace of God. You can't save yourself. We sin. We cause the problem. God had the solution, His Son, Jesus Christ, by His grace. You can't be saved without grace. You cannot be good enough to be saved. And brethren, here presents a problem for some. Well, I don't think I have to attend services. I don't do this and I don't do that. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. I don't do this and I'm a good person. That's all good and well. But you cannot be saved without the grace of Jesus Christ. You cannot be saved without His blood. You can't be good enough that God owes you salvation. If you could, if I could, Jesus would not have to have left heaven and come here in the first place and died on the cross. But because we need that salvation, because man cannot save himself, He did come. It was a necessity that He came to die for us. By His grace, by His love, by His mercy, we are what we are today. And if you're not a Christian, you haven't taken advantage of that. But now if you are a Christian, I want you to think for a moment. You are saved by the grace of God. Brethren, God cares that much about you. That means you're worth something. Your soul is worth something. Think about those things and live as though we are a holy people and that God does care for us. Notice verse 7. In whom? There's that phrase again. In. You see that word? In whom? Well, in who? Who is it? Jesus Christ. In whom we have redemption through His blood. I thought it was by His grace. He said just in the verse that we just read, it is. It's also by the blood. That's how you receive the grace. Jesus shed the blood. I thought it's by mercy. It is. It's by the blood of Christ that He showed mercy. We have redemption, forgiveness through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according, notice this, the riches of His grace. Have you thought about it this morning? You, as a child of God, if you can say that, and in all honesty, if you are a child of God, you are rich. Do you understand that? You are rich this morning because of the grace of Jesus Christ. You are rich. We look around, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that. You are rich in Jesus Christ. We need to realize where the greater blessings are. It's not the material blessings, brethren. It's the spiritual blessings that are in Jesus Christ. We are rich in Christ. Brethren, glorify God on this behalf that we are Christians. Verse 9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Moses didn't know this plan. He knew there was going to be a Savior, the Messiah. They've been told that. He didn't know the mystery. We know that. According to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed, notice this, in Himself. It's in Christ. We know the mystery. The gospel's been presented to us. After the death of Jesus Christ, you see the apostles on the day of Pentecost preaching the message of salvation. And brethren, we have this message here today. Jesus Christ came, was crucified, was buried, and was resurrected, and He serves as King of kings and Lord of lords this very day. He is our King. And brethren, it is in Him. And that mystery has been revealed. We have that New Testament. And Paul was writing it to the, and presenting it to the brethren at Ephesus. And verse 10 says, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things where? In Christ. Not somewhere else. Not in Muhammad. Not in Allah, some false god, but in Christ. Not in some man. Not in some man that's done some great things, but in Christ. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Notice this phrase again. Even in Him. That's where salvation is. He broke down the middle wall of partition that separated Jews and Gentiles. And brethren, we're all one in Christ. You know something else? We're all equal in Christ. I may be a preacher, and we have elders, we have deacons, we have Bible class teachers, we have members. Everybody is equal in Christ. It doesn't matter what country you may have come from. It doesn't matter what pay scale you are on, whether it be high or low, somewhere in between. It doesn't matter what color you are. The gospel is for Christ, by Christ, is for all people, and we are one. We are one in Christ. That means we need to stop the division sometimes that we see among brethren because we are one in Jesus Christ. Verse 11 says, in whom also, there's that phrase again, in whom? In Christ. Also we have obtained an inheritance. Brethren, sometimes we look forward to inheritance. Well, mom and dad or maybe a grandparent has left an inheritance for us. Oh, I'm going to have that. I have an inheritance by God. If you're a Christian this morning, you have an inheritance by God. That's far greater than any inheritance you've ever received or ever could receive. Rather, we have an inheritance waiting for us. And that is the pleasures that we look forward to, the glory that is in Christ Jesus. We have an inheritance being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. We've got to slow down here for a second. Predestined, you mean there's some set to go to heaven and some are not? Before the foundation of the world? Actually, yes and no, it depends on what you're teaching. You have to teach truth. That does not mean before the foundation of the world that some are already set to go to heaven and you can't do anything about it. And some are set to be lost and you can't do anything about it. That's Calvinism and that's false teaching and the Bible does not teach that. Those that are predestined are those that have chosen to be in Christ. He's told you that several times in this chapter. If you're in Christ, you have obeyed the gospel, you have become a Christian, you're in Christ. That group is predestined to be in heaven. And those that are not in Christ, those that refuse to obey the gospel, or those that are in Christ and walk away from the faith, that are no longer in Christ, that group is predestined to be lost and will not be in heaven. But brethren, because we are in Christ, we have this salvation. But he says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. This morning, do you trust in Christ? Have you put all your trust in Christ? Or are you trusting self? Maybe just a little bit. Maybe a whole lot. And you haven't put your trust in Christ. If you're trying to bear your burdens by yourself, you're not trusting Christ. If you don't rejoice because you're Christian, you're not fully trusting in Christ. If you don't understand that we are rich, you're not fully understanding the blessings that are in Christ. But they are only in Christ. You can't find them anywhere else. Verse 13 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard what? You heard the Word." Not some message that some man came from the mind of man. What Paul said in the beginning? By the will of God. And brethren, we have that, and that is the message that we proclaim. The Word that we trusted. The Word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, and there again is that phrase, in whom? In Christ. Also that you believed. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Brethren, we have a guarantee. If we're in Christ, we are going to heaven. Therefore, rejoice. Be glad that you can be a child of God, that you're in Christ, that Christ Jesus is your Savior.